So hello and welcome to the Hypnotic Half Hour podcast with your host, me, Jason Simmons. This is the podcast where I interview the most interesting and inspirational people from the world of hypnosis to find out what it is that makes them so successful and how they work with their clients or their volunteers in a therapy or stage setting. So my guest this week is comedy stage hypnotist Kevin J. In this interview, we discuss how being a viral star has helped to excel Kevin J's profile as a hypnotist, and we also discuss how Kevin J works with his volunteers on a stage setting. So this is part two of my interview with comedy stage hypnotist Kevin J. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's podcast. And when you mentioned earlier that you do like a 2 1-hour slots on a hypnosis show, like how do you keep your volunteers going like through that? Do you have them doing stuff in the break or?
Yeah, absolutely. And I do you know what? The funny thing is, when you've got that 15-minute break, myself and Paul just generally watch as well because you get them doing stuff during the break and it's hilarious. And I think what it basically does, it gives people in the audience a close-up view because there's a lot of people who are skeptic and understandably so, you know, just because, you know, we know what's happening, etc. There was an element before my training. I was like, no, how can anybody just go sleep? Somebody goes bang, zonk. It's not possible, surely. But I think by sending people back during the break to do stuff, people around them, because you'll notice everybody watches and it gives them a close-up person of that, people hypnotized.
Yeah.
And they can say, and you know, you've obviously heard the comments yourself. Well, do you know what? I wouldn't have believed it unless I'd have seen it with my own eyes like that. And I just think it's an extra. Not whether they're to convince people it's real. I say, look, I'm not here to challenge anybody. If you think it's fake, that's fine. You're not going to change my life. I'm not here to make you believe. I'm here to give you an entertaining show. And at the end of it, you make your own mind up.
Yeah.
But the only way, if you're that skeptic, you want to believe, the only way that you're going to believe is by volunteering tonight, sit down on one of them seats and let me hypnotize you and let's see what happens. But when they see their friends and their relatives and they're like, he would never or she would never have behaved in that way, that is like a compliment of saying, do you know what, I accept it now.
Yeah.
It's a sort of like, in the early days, I sort of got away from the challenge of is it real or is it not real. People naturally ask you that. They don't ask it in a derogatory way because they just don't understand. But I think if your pre-show is solid enough and everything else, then it's fine. When I sell the show to a pub, for example, when I ask for the silence, they many times offer me, they say, well, look, would you prefer to take all the volunteers into a separate room and then bring them out hypnotized? I say, do you know what? No, purely because I'd like the audience to see exactly how we hypnotize. And again, although it's obviously done to hypnotize people, it can be entertaining because there's a lot of people out there. Actually, I'm curious to see how he does this. And it's a sort of, I use various types of inductions and, you know, the obvious one for the audience because it's visual is obviously knocking a couple of people on the floor and, it just keeps them entertained, so to speak, while you're getting people under, that makes sense.
And when you're when you're doing your shows, like have you ever experienced like an ab reaction at all with any volunteers, and how have you dealt with that?
I've been very lucky. It's never really happened. I mean, I've read up on it. I know exactly what to do if it does happen. But I'd like to feel that I do everything correctly, which sort of prevents that, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But if it did happen, I would know exactly what to do in that scenario. So as I say, fortunately, from everything I've read, it doesn't happen very often.
Sure.
But as long as you know what to do if and when that event occurs, and really to try and stop it happening before it happens, if that makes sense.
No, that's
so right. You're watching your volunteers. You can start to see if somebody's being a little bit more emotional than what they should be or reacting in a way that you probably wouldn't expect and stuff. And I think if you're looking after your volunteers in that way and sort of being sort of one step in front of them, if you like, hopefully you can prevent something before it actually occurs.
Yeah. Sorry, Kevin. And when you're working on a stage, like, what do you believe are like the most important elements of a show for you? Like, what's the most important thing, or is there one thing that's more important than the rest of it?
Well, first of all, I personally find my volunteers have got to be focused, number one. Their enjoyment and safety is absolutely paramount to me. And it's a sort of like, you know, if they're looked after, not disrespected, it just naturally goes on from there. I mean, obviously, we're looking for a hilarious show and different – and I'm looking for to make sure that all the volunteers, in effect, are used in the right way. So you're not – you know, we all get shows where there's one volunteer. You can get 2 hours of one person, so to speak. Yeah. You're just making sure that everybody feels part of the show and everyone is looked after and not disrespected. Because you've got to remember, their family and friends are sitting there. They're not going to see you, you know, disrespect anybody in any way, shape, or form. And I always say to the volunteers, and just for your own peace of mind, all the shows are recorded. Anybody after the show wants a copy of the show to see exactly what you got up to, please ask me, and that will be sorted out free of charge. Problem at all. Slightly different. Ken's great. Ken always, there's some free tickets. There's some free tickets. Fine. He's there every Saturday night. I can't do that because obviously not in that vicinity. So we just say, look, you know, if anybody wants a copy of the show after the show, just give me your details. We'll sort that out for you.
It's a really nice, like, sort of giveaway at the end, you know, to say.
I think they're satisfied as well, and I think also it basically, from my point of view, it keeps my name out there in a positive light. Are we seeing this? This is when they show, you know, if somebody takes a video clip of their show and takes it home with them, of course they're going to watch it, you know, and the chances are, when they have family gatherings, did you see our Dave hypnotized last week? Yeah, here's the video. Watch a bit of this. Oh, who's the hypnotist? Kevin J. Bang, bang. Yeah. He was a lovely guy. He looked after me. He didn't disrespect me, blah, blah, blah. And it just hopefully puts me out in a positive light. You know, I've seen it so many times without mentioning names where people come to it. Oh, I've been hypnotized before. This fella in Spain did it. Oh, he made me do that. I hated it. I hated it. Bad experience. And he promised me this, but he didn't. He just, you know. And I'm like, that to them, although the guy in question thinks, oh, well, that's all right, I've had my show, that person's come back to the UK and hated hypnotists on the back of it because they just got disrespected. Well, hopefully, when they finish with my show, as a viewer, they can see we're not going to disrespect somebody, but as a volunteer as well, they know they're not disrespected. Mm. They always go away feeling great, you know, usual, give them a positive outlook and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. So I know as well, you've done a bit of training or offered a bit of training in the past and you've got shows coming up. Have you got any plans to do any more training in the near future or any?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. There's a few people say, where can I learn? And I've sort of put myself into a place where, I'm experienced enough. I know people say, I've only been in the game 5 minutes, but I know what I'm doing and I train in a thorough way. I give them a 2-day course. Yep. I've done 3 training courses so far. I've probably trained about 20 people. But out of those 20 people, 15 of them are actually hypnotizing people. Yep. And what I try and offer, I'm not competing against everybody else in regards to I do this, I do that. But people come along and say, can you do it? Yes, I can. There's a course. It's a 2-day course. And basically, for whatever you want to use it for, you know. Yeah. Most people I find on the courses, generally, it's not so much they want to go out and learn stage hypnosis. They just sort of think it'd be a nice tool to have as regards to sort of, you know, a group of friends around and stuff like that to be able to do this. And, it's one of those, it's not a get-rich-quick thing, but it's a very intense 2-day course. Yeah. But ultimately, after the 2-day course is finished, although you'll go away knowing how to do it, etc., you won't be walking away and hypnotizing people the same night. After my first training course, it took me a year before I was even thought about putting a show together. Because you just go out and practice and practice and practice and practice.
Yeah, that's right.
And then the more you practice, you know, you're better at it you get. And before you know it, you're like, do you know what? Let's do it. Mm. But I'm pleased to say that I've started a Facebook group. So people on the training, basically, when they finish, they join the group. Anybody's got any questions, we can help them out via, like, whether you use Skype or meet on one or whatever, and just follow through and help people. And it's sort of like, I'd like to think I'm a giver, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes complete sense.
because that's how I learned. As I say, I had days of training with various people, and I had a great experience. I can honestly say the people I've done the training for. I mean, obviously Ken stands out because to me, Ken's at the top of his game.
Yeah.
I've taken a little bit from all of the others as well. I've not been on a course where I've actually gone, do you know what? That's not taught me anything.
Yeah.
And I say to people that come to me, I say, now listen, you know, don't take everything I say as gospel. At the end of the day, all I can say to you is that that's the way I do it. But when your finances admit, go to 2, 3, 4, 5 different trainers, spend time with as many people as you can with hypnosis, and you'll take a little bit from each person.
Yeah.
And eventually that's what I've done. So now when you see a show, it's Kevin J show rather than a Ken Webster clone, Kevin J, or he's copying, a skit from another hypnotist or whatever. You know, obviously the classic sketches always stay in, you know, to me. The X-ray glasses is hilarious. It always stays in. It's funny, and it's a classic for a reason. That's why it's funny, and that's why everybody does it, because it's funny. But it's a sort of a lot of the skits, you know. And again, I totally get a lot of hypnotists to try and protect the material. But I'm quite happy if another hypnotist watches my show, whether it be on YouTube or whatever, and they see a skit they like, use it. Yeah. I'd take it as a compliment. I've seen a couple of hypnotists do a couple of things that I do, and I'm like, do you know what? I take it as a compliment. It means they've enjoyed what I've done. Mm. You know, it's like a comedian that tells a joke. Eventually, it's that funny. Other people are going to use it. I take it as a compliment, really. You know, at the end of the day, Ken was good enough to teach me a lot of the stuff that he does. And Ken quite rightly stressed to me, he said, look, you know, obviously you're using some of my materials, so to speak, to start off with, but you know, as you get more confidence and get into it, just do your own stuff.
Yeah, develop your own voice and that.
It's sort of, I've took that on board. And as I say now, in fact, I messaged Ken the other week and just to say, you know, I'm moving on now. And, you know, the show is less and less of some of the skits that you taught me, and some of the skits just go in by accident, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I've got the world's worst memory. And as much as I've got me skits, you know, I can never do them in the same order week after week because and sometimes I'm just about to do a skit, what was I doing? So I'll just, something will just come into my head. and Paul says to me, where did that come from? I said, I don't know, it just come out. Yeah. I forgot where I was too. So I just, you know, rather than sit there going, oh, what do we do next? I'll just quickly come of it. And at the end of it, he'll say, there's a couple of sketches you missed out there. I said, I know, just put other stuff in its place. There was no logic. I didn't make a pre-planned thing not to. The only sketch I took out, which I felt wasn't really working, which I've got not negative responses from. I used to do a sketch where I used a piece of rope. And I used it as, you know, when you wake up, it's the most venomous snake in the world, and you'd be absolutely petrified.
Yeah.
You know, there won't be any danger. But some of the reactions, people would be really scared to the point where they'd fly off their seat, hide behind me, roll up banners behind. And eventually I thought, you know what, this is, I don't really want them reacting that way, to the point of so scared that they're literally falling out of their seat to get away. And you know, so we said, no, let's take that out. That's the closest I've ever been to somebody being not hurt. I'd never allow that, but to the point where actually they were uncontrollable, to the point of dived off their seats. They could have gone head first into anywhere, and it just, you know. So that's the only skit I've saw, right, you know what, that's a conscious decision to remove that skit from the set, really, just in case anybody did sort of think to themselves, you know, they could hurt themselves, whether it be, you know, you know, when you sort of that scared, you rush off a chair that fast that you slip or you fall over, and you just let's just take that one out.
And so you said you've got some shows coming up. I mean, is there any that you can, if people wanted to find out more about you, for instance, is there somewhere that they can visit the website that you've got? I'll put it in the show notes.
Absolutely. My website is kevinjcomedyhypnotist.co.uk.
Yep.
I've got a couple of shows booked in pubs. I've got a couple of shows in the function rooms that I use. They will all be on the website.
Okay.
Alternatively, I'm always plugging my shows on my Facebook page. I'm happy. I've got Kevin J. Comedy Hypnotist Facebook page.
Yep.
Or if somebody just wants to add me, Kevin J., I'm happy for that as well. Anything business-wise that goes on to Kevin J. will also go on to the Kevin J. Comedy Hypnotist business page as well. So there's nothing sort of different. It's just that obviously one gets shared to the other.
Yeah.
So it all gets advertised. And more often than not, if people contact me, they can either contact me direct or contact the venue. There's always tickets available, and we make a fuss of people and make sure that from the minute they walk into the venue to the minute they go home, they will feel, do you know what, that was a full night's entertainment.
Yeah.
It wasn't just an hour show here or an hour and a half there. From 7 o'clock till probably 11:30, they're entertained nonstop.
Mm. And I mean, I guess my final question for you, Kevin, is if there was one piece of advice that you could give someone that was either just starting out or maybe like yourself when you started out, like what would that one piece of advice be that you either wish that you had or that you could offer out to someone just getting started?
If you want to do it, just do it. Just do it. Ignore negativity from other hypnotists. That would be my strongest thing. That used to hurt a bit, and it doesn't bother me anymore.
Yeah.
But it's a sort of like, just if it's something you want to do, follow your dream, but do it properly. You know, don't if it's something with like hypnosis. If you're going to do it properly, and if you invest the right amount of time doing it, you'll have a successful time. If you don't do it properly, then you won't get anywhere because it's not a sort of I think that's why a lot of people don't learn magic, because it's too difficult. That's so they just soon pass up. And I think through the training course, by the end of it, if anybody was looking, they just wanted to know how it worked and just for the hell of it, by the end of the course, they're like, no, I'm not going to continue with this. It's just too much. You know, you really, really got to want to do it. But if you're really passionate enough to do it, do it. I wish I'd have done it 30 years ago, to be honest. But there you are.
Yeah. Well, no, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to talk to me,
Kevin.
Pleasure. It's been
my
great
pleasure.
Actually catching up with you in
absolutely
over the night, like, speaking to you for a change, as opposed to sort of conversing over Facebook.
I'm sorry I've not let you get a word in, to be honest.
No, that's great. No, it's fantastic. It's been really insightful. So it's good to hear from other people that are out there doing it and how they're getting on. So I really appreciate your time. And I'm sure we're going to talk again soon, Kevin.
I'd look forward to it, my friend. I look forward to it.
All right. Thanks. Have a good day. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Jason. Bye-bye, mate.
Bye-bye. And that was part two of my interview with Kevin J. So if you want to hear more about Kevin, you can look in the show notes below and you'll be able to find his details for his website address. If you're interested in finding out more about myself and the podcast, you can also check out my website, which is www.mappingminds.co.uk. And if I'd be really grateful if you're enjoying the podcast so far, if you could like, subscribe and comment on the podcast app of your choice. It's really useful to me. And finally, if you've got any comments or suggestions for future guests, feel free to contact me directly on my Facebook page, which is Jason Simmons Hypnotist. So thanks very much for listening, and I look forward to seeing you on next week's episode.